So this month, as you already know, if you were here last week, we're taking some time to review and discuss our experiences that we've had over this past year with the Oxherding pictures. And last week, Lauren, took the lead on doing that and shared some of her thoughts and her reflections about this series. So I'll do some of the same this week, and we're hoping that what we share will maybe be a kind of a encouragement for you to share some of your own experiences with these pictures during the group discussion. And I'd like to start the same way as Lauren did last week by showing the 10 pictures so you can have a chance to look at them and kind of remind yourself about them and reacquaint yourselves with them and have a sense of what they mean to you. So I will do that screen sharing to bring them up. So there the pictures are. And as you remember, we began with the searching for the ox, being in a place of feeling like things were not quite right, looking for something different from what our experience is, finding some footprints, maybe having a sense of, oh, this might be helpful, this might be helpful. And then finally seeing the ox, catching a glimpse of the ox, a sense of, oh, wow, now this path really has something to it. This is the way I want to proceed. And then that whole process of catching the ox, fighting with the ox that's running all over the place, hill and dale everywhere, gradually taming it so it's calm, quiet. Clearly focusing where you want it to focus, going where you want it to go. And then the kind of joy and happiness of riding the ox home. The music of the flute. And then the ox forgotten, the self remains, the ox herder quiet in their little hut. The ox resting, the ox herder wrestling, resting, just being with what he is. And then the mysterious Enzo, where we catch a glimpse of the formless, the non-self, both ox and self forgotten. And then returning to the origin, back to the source. And then finally entering the marketplace with extended hands. After all of our journeying, coming back with the spirit of generosity, of kindness, of joy, to rejoin with others. So I'll give you another moment just to do your own looking at these pictures. Seeing what comes up for you and which ones are maybe special to you. Okay, and then I'll stop the sharing. So we will have some time at the during the small group discussions for all of you to share your experiences with this pic with these pictures, and I'll start this process by sharing some of my own experiences and reflections. kind of like what Lauren did last week. And in some ways, this might be a kind of going here and going there talk the way it is when we're sort of giving our impressions of something, but I hope there will be some things that you will relate to also. So to begin with, one of the things that came up for me when I was thinking about these pictures and reflecting on our experience over this past year is how different they are. You know, what a really different way of presenting the Dharma these pictures are than what we are typically used to. You know, I think we're used to hearing the teachings explained. You know, we might hear and reflect on a sutra like the Satipatthana Sutra on the four foundations of mindfulness, and then thinking about and hearing about how we can apply the instructions and the teachings as we meditate. Or maybe we're used to working with one of the Buddhist lists, you know, the four noble truths, the three characteristics, the seven factors of awakening, and so forth. Hearing talks about them, thinking about how we see those in our own practice. Or we might listen to talks and reflect on applying the Dharma in daily life situations that we meet and challenge us. But whatever we might specifically be working with, we're basically used to having some kind of explanation of the teachings and instructions on how we might apply them, either in our meditation on the cushion or in our daily lives. And now the Oxfording pictures are just not like that, as you well know after spending a year with them. They're just not like that, which has made them kind of a challenge, I think, for all of us. And instead, what the Oxfording pictures have felt like to me, and this is a sense that has developed over time as we've been working with them, I feel like they're much more like a story or a description of what it feels like to actually do this practice. So it's really not instructions. It's more like the felt sense of being on the path for this particular character, this ox herder. And this doesn't mean that the teachings aren't there in these pictures. They actually do show up, but in a lot more subtle way than what we're used to. For example, in the pictures on catching the ox and taming the ox, there's a really dramatic illustration of how it feels to be sitting there and trying to follow the meditation instructions, you know, wanting to keep the mind steady, but seeing that it just runs all over the place. And feeling as if we have to keep exerting effort, sometimes a huge amount of effort, to try to bring the mind back to the present, to collect our attention. And then that sense of finally having more of a feeling of steadiness, of focus, where we're actually able to see what's occurring instead of just being lost in thought or all over the place in our difficult emotions or whatever. And then in the picture where the ox herder is riding the ox home and where he settles down in the little hut as the ox fades away to rest, we really get this sense of exploring the seven factors of enlightenment: mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy and rapture, tranquility, concentration or stillness, equanimity. When you look at that picture of the ox herder riding the ox home, you can really feel the energy, the joy and rapture as the ox herder plays their flute and goes along. You know, it's a really joyful feeling. And when he or she arrives at the little cottage and settles in, there's a real sense of tranquility, stillness of mind, equanimity. You know, you just really can feel those beautiful mind states that are talked about as the seven factors of awakening. And then in the picture of abandoning the oughts and self with the Enzo, we also get a sense of that moment of deep insight, you know, that glimpse of formlessness, of not self, whatever words you might like to use, that place where we know that things really aren't as we've always assumed that they were, and we start to see the truth of the teachings. And then when the ox herder returns to the marketplace, changed by what he or she has seen, here I feel like we really see the heart practice and the teachings on sila or ethical conduct on display. You know, the ox herder really embodies these kinds of qualities. You know, there's a sense of generosity, of non-harming, of renunciation in the sense of not being worried about material goods. And in this individual, you can also see the Brahma Viharas there, you know, a feeling of loving kindness and compassion, you know, relating to whoever is in front of him or her, sympathetic joy, equanimity. So I found that with the ox-herding pictures, there is a sense that the teachings are there. They're just presented in a different way. So instead of spelling them out and explaining them, the ox-herding pictures show us somebody who's working with them, experiencing them, embodying them, just the same as we do, as we move along on this path. And I think it's also interesting and maybe something we should pay attention to, how in the ox-herding pictures, the characteristics and the conduct that we really aspire to, you know, the precepts, the paramis, generosity, non-harming, loving kindness, you know, they're not laid out for us in instructions, as instructions on what we should do or how we should be, but instead we see them at the very end of this cycle, you know, as an outcome of all of this long period of seeking and exploring and practicing and understanding that the ox herder has gone through. So that really struck me too, and I felt like, you know, this is kind of a good lesson for us, you know, to remember that in this practice, as we do this practice, it isn't so much a matter of struggling and struggling to try to be good and to always do things better, but of doing our practice as best we can and then just letting that transform us as that transformation happens. So I mentioned earlier that instead of laying out explanations and instructions, the ox-herding pictures give us a felt sense of practice. And in fact, sometimes the pictures really feel, you know, quite personal, you know, as if the ox-herder is saying, this is the way it was for me. These are the things that happened to me. This is what I felt. And I found that to be really helpful because it gives me the feeling that I can look at these pictures and read the poems and think, oh yeah, me too. I felt like that too. I feel like I've been in that place too. Or maybe in some cases, I might say, well, not exactly. It hasn't been quite that way for me. Maybe I haven't experienced that yet. And because the pictures feel more like a personal story, it's like there's this sense that either way is okay. There isn't a sense that the way the ox-herder describes things is the only way we can experience it, or that it necessarily encompasses everything as we as individuals might feel along the way. It's kind of personal and ambiguous enough that there's room for interpretation and for other things to come in. And that's been a real relief to me and a real help in working with them, and kind of a pleasant surprise too, When we started this series, I was a little bit worried because it's a Zen description of the spiritual journey, and I felt like maybe it wouldn't capture things that we usually experience doing Theravada or insight practice. So I expected that maybe I would feel kind of confused or conflicted because I didn't necessarily experience things in the same way as they're shown in the pictures. And I expected that a lot of you might feel confused too, and maybe worried that you were doing things wrong. And, definitely, I do see differences between how my practice has unfolded and what is shown in the pictures. And I think, and we talked about some of this during the Sunday sits, how it seems that the investigation of dukkha, understanding the Four Noble Truths, some of these things that are such a big part of our tradition aren't shown so clearly in the Oxford pictures. But because the pictures don't really come across as like instructions, they don't have this didactic feel, like this is the map you have to follow, and if it doesn't happen this way, it's not right. I didn't feel the conflict nearly as much as I thought I might, and I found that I didn't need to argue with what was in the pictures, and I could relate them to them, more as a jumping off place for reflecting on how the practice has unfolded for me. And I feel like I've come to know my own experience of the practice more clearly because of these pictures, recognizing what's similar, noticing what seems different. And I hope that they've worked that way for you too, so you've had more of a sense of what this journey has been like for you. So, speaking of what this journey has been like for me, as far as my own relationship with these pictures, I'd say that it was easy for me to relate to a lot of them and to feel as if I'd had similar experiences. Just like the Oxherder in picture one, I felt like when I began my journey, I was in a place of confusion and dissatisfaction. Like something wasn't quite right in my life, but I wasn't sure what. I also went through a period of exploring, maybe finding some tracks where I was reading this, experimenting with that, trying out different spiritual traditions, not knowing for sure was what was right for me. And then finally, I went on a Buddhist insight retreat. And that was where I had that feeling of catching a glimpse of the ox. That having this sense that, there's really something to this path and it really feels right for me and I want to know more. I want to go this direction. And then all the struggles to learn the meditation techniques, to cope with all the crazy places my mind could go, to get familiar with and understanding the teachings. And the experience of gradually feeling, especially in the retreat environment, more calm, more sort of a sense of steadiness. And some of those wonderful feelings expressed in the pictures that show the ox herder riding the ox home, like joy, rapture. Maybe even some of the equanimity of the ox herder just resting in his little hut. Maybe even a bit of catching a glimpse of what's shown in the picture 10. And then, being back in the marketplace, trying to be there skillfully. And sometimes, yes, sometimes, no. But the one thing I really would say that things have been a lot more messy for me than this nice cycle that we see in the pictures. It's been more like maybe catching a glimpse of the truth and then being overwhelmed and thrown in confusion and resisting it. So I feel like I'm back in picture one or maybe that picture four where the ox is racing up and down the mountains and into the gullies. And then, continuing to practice getting some steadiness, feeling some peace, then something else arises and there's more confusion, you know. So this sense of going through this cycle over and over again, you know, a lot more of that process of seeing dukkha, seeing suffering, investigating it, being confused, being full of doubt, getting back on track again, then seeing a little bit more, getting confused again. A lot more of that than I see in the ox herding pictures. And for me, for sure, they are not a linear progression, but more like a series of stages, some of which we might experience over and over again. And yet each time we go through these different stages, we go through these processes, we gain a little more insight, we gain a little bit more understanding, a little more of our confusion and misunderstanding are cleared up, and we open to deeper levels. So not something so smooth or linear, and yet there's a feeling that the practice is working. Maybe working in a way that's unique to each of us and yet with so many commonalities, so many things we can all relate to and share. When I think about what I'll bring forward with me in the coming year, in which pictures inspire me, well, I think one of them is just this sense of being okay with the personal nature and the cyclical nature of practice and not feeling like it has to be one way. And then in terms of specific pictures, you know, I feel like this is a really personal thing and we're all going to have different choices, which will be interesting to explore in the discussion. But for me right now, there are two that seem especially important. And the first one is the picture number 9, the one where the ox is transcendent and the ox herder is in that little hut. And for me, this picture represents a place for me where I realize that so much of the efforting I do, trying to be better, trying to do it better, trying to make progress, trying to have experiences I think I ought to be having, really just gets in the way, you know. So in this picture, I kind of see the times when I recognize that I'm so busy worrying about getting somewhere and making something happen that I don't really know what's actually occurring in that moment. And all of that wanting of something better to happen is really just suffering. So I look at this picture and I think, yeah, I need to abandon the whip and the ropes and just rest quiet in my thoughts dwelling with what is. Like that poem that I read for this sit, no demands, no expectations, wanting only one precious thing, to see purely and simply. And then the other picture that I feel like I might return to in the coming year is the picture 11, returning to the source. And I love this picture because it feels to me like it's kind of a place where we've caught a glimpse of the truth, but maybe haven't fully absorbed it or integrated it. So, you know, it's like there's some wisdom there, but maybe a lot that still feels confusing or uncertain or unknown. And that picture reminds me that it's okay to feel those things, and I can just let that uncertainty be there and let that integration happen in its own time through being quiet with what is and through the connection with nature. And maybe that's especially important, a sense of really allowing that connection with nature to help me understand and integrate the Dharma. So many of these other pictures are really meaningful and important too, and I will think about them in the coming year. But right now, you know, those two are the big ones that come up for me, helping me to orient myself towards practicing in a way that makes no demands or expectations, and will see purely and simply. So not so much doing Dharma practice as showing up and letting the practice do its work on me. And I'd like to invite you all also to take some time and reflect on these pictures and poems and, you know, notice what they've taught you, what they've helped you to recognize maybe about your practice and understand about it, and maybe which pictures or reflections will inspire you as you go forth into the new year. Things that will be unique and different for all of us, but which I think we'll all find a lot to relate to. So let's sit for a minute to close our talk today. A valley and above it forest in autumn colors. A voyager arrives, a map leads him there, or perhaps memory. Once long ago in the sun, when snow first fell, riding this way, he felt joy, strong without reason, joy of the eyes. Everything was the rhythm of shifting trees, of a bird in flight, of a train on the viaduct, a feast in motion. He returns years later, one most precious, has no demands. He wants only one most precious thing, to see purely and simply, without name, without expectations, fears, or hopes, at the edge, for there is no I or not I. So thanks for being here, for your kind attention. And now we'll have some time for a small group discussion. So if things are very busy for you with the holidays, or for whatever reason you feel you can't stay with us for this discussion, this is a good time to say goodbye. So I'll let anyone who needs to do that feel free to do that. We're happy to have had you with us for the sit and the talk. Especially during this season, we all understand how time can be very limited. So now I will go ahead and do the breakout rooms. Start getting these set up. So we will hopefully have about 3 people or so in each room. And what I would ask you to do today is to share your own experiences with the ox herding pictures. Maybe if you were here last week and shared something and there's something you didn't share, this would be a good time to bring that up. And, you know, anything you might like to say about what you've learned, the pictures that have inspired you, how working with the ox herding pictures might influence you as you go forward in your practice in the coming year, anything else that might come up. So I will go ahead and create the groups now, and we'll come back in about 15 minutes or so for a full group discussion. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. Nice to see you together again. And so now we have some time for sharing and discussion with this larger group. I'd be interested to know, you know, what maybe some of you talked about in your small groups, or any pictures that really touched you, or whatever you would like to share, you're welcome to share. So you can go, you know, you maybe put up your hand like this, or use the virtual hand. I think either way looks okay, because I can see all the little pictures of everybody on the screen. So, yeah, it's Julie. Oh, you're still muted.
I just saw that. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I just wanted to say hi, everybody. I'm really happy to be here. I have listened to many, many recorded talks and keep coming up against obstacles to actually join in person. But I really appreciated being in a breakout with Janet and Rosalie and having a little discussion about the pictures and a little introduction. And I think that one of the things that, well, at least Janet and I talked about was Rosalie kind of got caught off because she was encouraging me, which was great. But appreciation for the idea that the Oxfording pictures are not linear and that we can bounce all over the place. That's been really, really meaningful and helpful where I am at my practice right now.
Mm, yeah, thank you, Julie. And I didn't realize for sure that this was the first time you joined us, you know, in person on Zoom. So
big not welcome. The first time, but the second time and the first time, unfortunately, yeah. Life interfered, so I wasn't as present as I would have liked to have been.
But yeah, I think probably a lot of us share that sense that of jumping back and forth, you know, and going through the stages depicted in those pictures more than once. And I know that topic has come up several times during the year. And so, yeah, I definitely feel like that's probably more the common experience than the other way. So, yeah, that has been very helpful to me, too, to think of it that way, not as a sense of this is the way that things should go, but an illustration of some of the things that happen. So, yeah, thank you. Let's see. Lillian and Nikhil have a comment, one or both of you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciated your reminder that these the pictures that apply to us might be a little different, and it's not necessarily the strict path that, you know, everyone has to follow. And I think that's like deep down something I kind of like was aware of, but I think it's something that for me was really easy to forget and lose track of. And so just like having that reminder in terms of like how to the perspective in which to place these pictures and how to view them in terms of our own personal journey. And it can be something like where we compare and contrast. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that we identify with each picture in the same way. That was a really useful reminder. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I know that's been a really good learning for me because, you know, there are different schools of practice and different ways of approaching things, and for a while I felt like, oh, you know, is this way right? Is that way right? I was always sort of in conflict. One of my teachers says this, one of my teachers says that, one of my friends who's practicing with a different teacher says a different thing, and I was worried about what is right, what is right. But over time I become more and more able to feel that there is no one right. And I think the Oxfording pictures with their personal story nature has helped me too. So yeah, I think that's a really good lesson of not getting caught in that feeling of it has to be only this way. So thank you for bringing that up. Let's see. Oh, Judith, yes.
Okay. Well, I've been involved in several different paths, as I've mentioned before, and it seems to me that even though the practices might be different, they all come down to the same thing in the end. You know, it's always I guess what you could call universal consciousness, the absence of boundaries, the absence of the separate self and the absence of boundary. They all come down to that when you get to the essence of them. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like different rivers coming from the same ocean and branching out and then going back to the same ocean
mm-hmm.
in the end.
Yeah, a different skillful means to reach the same
right
place. Yeah, which, as you say, is that place of boundarylessness and also that sense of love, really. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, love, compassion, that's always. Love,
compassion is always there, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, one of the things that's maybe challenging is to find which way works best for us without insisting that that's the way for everybody. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Because when you insist that that's the right thing for everybody, that's when you begin to lose track of the love.
And yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, thank you. I think we have time maybe for one or two more people, and then I will do the announcement. So if anyone has anything they would... Oh, Suze.
I'll share what I said in my group that... throughout the year, I really didn't identify very much with the, I don't know if it's like the fourth and fifth picture where the whole struggle and taming stuff. But lately, that's the one that's, those are the ones that have really been coming up because I have a lot of things that are going on in my life that are kind of confusing and uncertain. And I'm thinking that if I only had the rope and whip and kind of, you know, get do it right, and then the answers will be there instead of sitting in the hut and being with the confusion, and it may change or it may not. Somebody in our group was talking about, you know, this is the water we swim in, and maybe we'll get to another bank, but maybe we won't. You know, the confusion, we don't know how the confusion is going to work itself out, and so it was just interesting to me to see that even though I thought I was in a different place as we've been working along, at least these last few weeks, I've been right back with the whip and the rope, trying to kind of get myself in shape. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that desire to mm-hmm. more effort. That's mm-hmm. what's needed is more effort. And and I know Tim talked about that one of the Monday nights recently where he was suggesting that we need to understand better about the role of effort. Anyway.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you brought that up because I think that struggle with the role of effort isn't something that just happens early in the practice. It just keeps coming up over and over and over again. And I mean, maybe it's sort of our culture is part of it, or maybe it's just the way human beings are wanting to be able to control things. But yeah, I have definitely found, I mean, it seems like that's one of the continual questions for me in my practice is what really is wise effort. So yeah, very much an issue for everybody. So let's sit together for a few moments to close. Taking a moment to share the merit of our practice today with those near to us, with those far from us, anyone who comes to mind. Extending it, this well-wishing as much as we are able to all beings. May all beings, whoever they are, wherever they are, share in the merit of our practice. May they find peace, may they find joy, and may their hearts be at ease. So, thanks everybody, and hope you have a really wonderful day and good experiences with the snow. not too much to keep you from traveling, but maybe enough so we can enjoy it.